Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your Wednesday listener questions. We're going to have a question from Brian. He's getting ready to run his first Run Disney event in January. He's doing the Goofy Challenge, and he has questions about changes with the announcers with Run Disney down at Marathon Weekend, and also speculation on whether we'll see any more West Coast Run Disney races. Lots more coming your way. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, speaking of Marathon Weekend, as I glance down at my iPhone and look at the app, we're only 140 days away from Marathon Weekend 2020. We're going to get those miles in as the fall comes on here soon. It's going to amp up our training, and we'll be down collecting those medals before you know it. I get excited every time I look down at my phone for a text, place a phone call, or post to social media, and you can do the same. Drop by virtualmickey.com today to check out all the great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out, virtualmickey.com. Please support the show the easiest way possible, and that's using our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support the show. So if you don't mind, bookmark it and share it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1527 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope that you are doing well, working through that week. I know it's hot. It's probably humid where you are, unless you're a smart person and live where there's low humidity, which the two of us that are podcasting today definitely do not. We swim through the air this time of year. But you know what? We'll be complaining about it being too cold here, you know, probably in a few months, and we'll wish we had this back. So what can you do?
Yes,
let's have some fun.
Exactly.
So today we're together to answer your listener questions as we do every Wednesday. And joining me today, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Just back from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which I will be sharing all about probably on Friday. So, yay.
Hope the Force was with you.
Yes, it was. Sure.
We'll hear about it on Friday's show. All right, let's get to some listener questions. We have a great group joining us as we record over lunch on Facebook. We appreciate you dropping in and joining us live on a spur of the moment show. And if you have questions, you can put those in the comments. First, to the inbox, Brian's got a question. He says, hi, I'm not usually able to call in for listener question shows, hoping I can submit a question over email. Well, you did, and here we go. I'm running my first Run Disney event in 2020, a Goofy Marathon weekend. Curious what your thoughts are on the recent announcement that Rudy won't be returning as a Run Disney announcer. Also, whether you think Run Disney will ever bring races back to Disneyland. Thanks for your thoughts. Brian is an avid Disney cruiser, bi-coastal AP holder and a DVC member from Seattle, Washington, 2,539 miles from Walt Disney World and 1,169 miles from Disneyland. All right, so Brian totally invested here. But first Run Disney event, you're going to have a great time. I'll see you out there on Saturday and Sunday, so look for me. We're going to have a good time with all the lizards. I can't wait. I love Marathon Weekend. So real quick, my thoughts. You know, a couple weeks ago, it was announced that Rudy will not be returning as an announcer for Run Disney. I like Rudy. I like Pelkey. I like Carissa. I like all the announcers because for those folks that have been running the races, God, I've been running the races almost a decade now. I can't believe that. Like,
that's crazy.
You know, yeah. I started taking them more serious about 5 years ago, but I've been doing them for probably 10 years. And the thing is the announcers, the consistency of the announcers for Run Disney events are truly kind of like old friends up there. You know, you hear some of the same jokes, you know, getting ready because you stand there forever. You're freezing at marathon weekend, usually one of the races, if not more of them. And, you know, they feel like they're sharing the cold with you, the anticipation of the races with you. And they're getting you amped up, but they're also getting you prepared for the experience you're getting ready to have. So John, you know, Pelkey, you had Rudy and Carissa and other, they've brought in other folks throughout the years. They're old friends, and they truly are. But I think, you know, just like Walt Disney World, just like the Disney Company, things are going to change. You know, I don't know. Rudy may have gotten a better opportunity. There's lots of other run series out there. He's one of the premier announcers. You know, he could be running, doing like rock and roll. Those races are all over the country. It could have just run his course for him. You know, I mean, there's, you know, people come into running and people drop out of running. You know, it's just one of those things that you don't do forever. I don't know. You know, I think it'll change, but I'm a huge fan of Pelkey. I think he's kind of sarcastic, and I like that. You know, and I like the positive energy Carissa brings and you know, the other racers, the announcers that have been out there on the course with us. I don't know. I think it'll be fine. So, Ricky, what are your thoughts when changes like this happen with old friends that are announcers?
Yeah, I know. It's definitely hard to, you know, not be able to hear some of your favorite people and experience, you know, their style and everything like that. And it definitely makes it more difficult, especially when it's somebody that you look forward to seeing time and time again. But, you know, unfortunately, change does happen. You know, it happens every day. And it's just something that, as difficult as it is sometimes, it's just something you've got to deal with. And they'll still be running Disney races. There's still, you know, it'll still be a fun atmosphere. It'll still be a great time. It just won't feature Rudy anymore. So
should I give Rudy a shout out to Rudy? Here we go. Here we go. Runner six, go. That was the Rudy. He had to do it like 38 times because so many crawls nowadays. So.
Yes, exactly.
He probably just wore himself out with that. Quickly, my thoughts on the races returning to Disneyland. Here's the thing with Run Disney, and it's not good or bad. It's what it is right now. My opinion, Run Disney has definitely peaked, and yeah. It was crazy 5 years ago, 6-7 years ago. It was nuts. Like, I literally almost had to take off school to sign up for a race just to get in. That was crazy. You know, even when I didn't take off school, I sent my, this is terrible, this is the terrible teacher in me, I sent my kids next door to the teacher next door and said, just give me like 30 minutes and like do an activity with them. I'll take your kids later on in the day for 30 minutes. I'll do an activity with them. You can have 30 minutes off. I got to sign up for this race. Don't bug me. I have my iPad out. I have my phone out. I have my computer on at school. It was like sweat is pouring, like the movie Airplane where he's trying to land the plane. That was me trying to sign up for Run Disney Race, because like I swore if you like had one misstep you didn't get in. It was brutal. Now you can sign up for races. Typically, like I ran, signed up for Princess the weekend before. You know, a lot of the races are like that. There's still lots of races open for marathon. Some of them fill up, you know, quicker, like 10Ks usually. Yeah. But the fever is dying down. You know, we've hit the peak and we're coming back down, which is fine with me because it was just ridiculous. If the demand returned like it was 5 or 6 years ago, we may see them at Disneyland, but I doubt it. I think it's more of a logistical nightmare out there. Yeah. And they can do their thing at Walt Disney World, and the demand's not there as it was 5 years ago, 7-8 years ago. I don't know.
Well, I think that the logistics is definitely the bigger problem at Disneyland. I mean, they had to shut down roads, and they had to, you know, go through the stadium, and, you know, they had to do a lot of things to try to accomplish, 13 miles, you know? And so it makes it very difficult to do that. And I think that logistically it was just a nightmare. And so, you know, by having the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you know, construction happening, you know, that was a good way to kind of say, okay, we're not going to do it anymore. You know, that was a good graceful way to kind of bow out of it. So I don't think that they will be having any more races at Disneyland. I think that those days are over, unfortunately. You know, I think, yeah, unless the demand just gets to be so much bigger, I don't think we're going to see races at Disneyland any longer. So
yeah, because they're getting into that gray area where they're going to have to pay volunteers because of certain rules of California, and it, you know, yes. Then they're not making as much money.
That.
Yeah, it's like it just became, I think, it's one of those things, just too big of a headache. You know,
yeah.
Like we don't need it. But we'll see. I mean, you know, I never got to roam one out there. I really wanted to, but I always told myself I was going to go to Disneyland outside of a race first to experience it. And so I got
to
do that.
Now you get to.
I know, so I get to. Yeah. All right, Sarah's got a question in the live chat. Hey, Mike and Ricky, planning for October right now. Are extra magic hours at Hollywood Studios for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge only or for the whole park?
Okay, so they are for sure for Galaxy's Edge, and they are for Toy Story Land. They will also be for probably a few select attractions as well. I would assume maybe, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror or things like that. But for sure, I know it is those two lands, and then anything else that they want to maybe sprinkle in, you know, that they can open. Yeah.
You got to go for the Voyage of Little Mermaid first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to
be that
an option.
Person.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Keisha's got a question in the live chat as well. Hey, next trip here is October 3rd. Let's see. Solo-ish adult trip to celebrate my birthday. I'm not so patiently waiting for Disney to release after hours event info. What do you guys think will be there? After hours events at Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios come October. So what are your guesses for after hours coming October? Because the thing is, in October, you have lots and lots of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween parties at Magic Kingdom. So I think that's going to work against you there.
That's true. But the after hours events do happen after hours. So I think they will probably sprinkle them in at the Magic Kingdom. You know, they'll probably, because they, you know, they happen after the park closes. So, again, you know, this is kind of like, I keep saying, repeating over and over again, it's the age-old question of when is Disney going to release the after-hours events for my dates? And unfortunately, the answer is only about 2 months or so before the actual time that you're slated to go. So what they do is they usually announce like 2 to 3 months worth of dates. And then once it gets to maybe a month or maybe two out before the last dates end, they will start announcing the next dates. So I think they went all the way till, I think they went to September. So probably maybe the end of this month, definitely the beginning of September, you'll see the hours, the dates come out for the probably October and November and maybe December. For Disney After Hours, as well as maybe the early morning magic as well. So, yeah, it's a waiting game, and I know it's unfortunate, but
they mess with us, man. They get us trained. They like, do. We need 180 days. No, let's do 60.
Yeah, exactly. So, I suspect for October, you'll see it at the end of this month or maybe beginning middle of next month. Yeah.
All right, it's a good question here from Jeff in the live chat. Coming down this weekend for the annual pass preview. Need to get in a run of 5 to 6 miles Saturday morning. Any good places to run around Wilderness Lodge? Yeah, there's actually a path from Wilderness Lodge to Fort Wilderness if it is open. Is it open now with Reflections? I'm trying to think. It's kind of in that area.
That's a good question. I don't know if it is. It might be closed because of the construction. I think I heard it was.
So, but here's the thing. You could get over to Fort Wilderness somehow. There's got to be a way. And the thing is, if you run around the loops at Fort Wilderness, you can get in. I mean, you're going to have to run multiple circuits, you know, and run the loops multiple times. But, I mean, good scenery. You see people riding bikes. It's very friendly. It's like running through a neighborhood, which is a lot of fun. But if that path is open from Wilderness Lodge to Fort Wilderness and back, you could do that 2 or 3 times and you'd be set. More than set. That's a great run too, especially right at sunrise. You'd see a lot of like deer and stuff, and watch out for the raccoons. I was running at my new at our new place that we have this little lake kind of behind our house.
Yeah,
2-foot snake the other day. No. Right on the path. Nope. Yeah, I thought it was roadkill when I was coming around because I got to do a bunch of laps. It's only a quarter of a mile each loop, and so I come up on it and I'm like, that wasn't their last lap. And it looked like it was off in the distance in the path. I'm like, that thing looks like roadkill. I got up to it. It was a big fat snake.
Nope.
Yeah,
I'll
have to put a picture.
I'm like turn it the other way. Okay, I'm gonna go this way now again.
There's all kinds of bullfrogs, which don't bother me, but man, that snake was pretty big. Anyway, so be careful, snakes. David's got a question. Hey guys, currently doing Operation Disney Marathon to run my first marathon and Disney Marathon next year. Hopefully we'll see you there. Yes, you'll definitely see me there. I love Marathon Weekend. It's so awesome. All right, we got a would you rather question, Ricky. So get yourself ready. Ready?
Yes.
It's from Jennifer. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, love the show. Thanks for all your continued dedication and great content. So here's my situation. All about how my life got turned upside down. I don't know where that came from. We are going on our first Disney cruise in October, 3 nights to the Caribbean, and luckily I have been able to finagle 2 extra nights prior to the cruise at Walt Disney World. Well done, Jennifer. We are staying at the Beach Club. We have 2-day Magic Your Way tickets. Wednesday, we're going to be at Epcot. Thursday, my plan is to go to Extra Extra Magic Hours at the studios to see Galaxy's Edge, hang out at the pool, go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. God, it's a long day. It's 6 o'clock Extra Magic Hours, man. Woo! I get up early, and that's a long day, going to the party that same day. Oof. Okay, so here's what she says. So, those are the constants. Here are my would you rathers. Would you rather number one, get ready, book FastPass Plus for after Galaxy's Edge at Hollywood Studios for Slinky Dog, etc., or book FastPass Plus at Magic Kingdom before the Halloween party? That one's easy to me. On that one, I would definitely do the Magic Kingdom before the Halloween party. You have just way more choices, and you're going to be amped up and just having a good time. That's what I would go home and just rest until, say, like 2 o'clock and go back to the Magic Kingdom, maybe 3 o'clock, and do those fast passes before the party. What would you do?
Yeah, I think that's probably what I would do. I would do the fast passes before at the Magic Kingdom.
Except you're going to miss Slinky Dog, but I mean, it's just that you can't do it all.
No, that's true.
Would you rather number two is dining related? Disney dining plan, standard plan. Okay, so here she has Beaches and Cream, Crystal Palace, Yorkshire Country Fish Shop, Woody's Lunchbox, Food and Wine Snacks, or getting the Disney quick service dining plan with Food and Wine Snacks, Yorkshire County Fish Shop, Woody's Lunchbox, and Casey's Corner. See, I always think you need to have some sit down meals. That's just me, because especially in October, it's going to be busy. It'll still be kind of hot.
Yeah.
You know, Crystal Palace is a really good value, and that's a really, really good value on the dining plan. Beaches and Cream, depending on what you get, can be a decent value. Not always, because you could use that one out of pocket, but I don't know. I like to have the sit down meal, so I would probably go with the dining plan, the standard. Just me.
Yeah. I also would suggest having some sit down meals. So I think I would do the dining plan as well. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So thanks so much. I know there is no wrong answer. Just looking for more input as I'm trying to make these decisions before my fast pass window opens up on Friday. Love the show. It helps so much during my runs. Thanks, Jen.
Awesome.
Morgan's got a question in the live chat. Question for Ricky. It's not for me. All right. I'm out of here.
Not for you.
I'm moving to Florida next week.
Yay!
Are my days of fast passes for the popular rides gone?
I got it. No, they're not. You may have some trouble occasionally, but for the most part, as long as you make if you know, I'm going to be in the park on this day, you know, and you can make your fast pass about 30 days in advance for some of those attractions, then yeah, you're going to be fine. You're still going to be able to get the fast passes for the popular attractions. But you know what I do? A lot of times, day of, I'm able to just score a fast pass for popular attractions as well. Now, it helps when I'm by myself or, you know, with one other or two other people. It's a little bit easier to score those fast passes, and I just play the fast pass game. So I'll make my fast pass, and then I'll just keep checking and rechecking and rechecking and see if I can change the fast pass or move it up or whatever. But no, your days of getting fast passes are definitely not over. Matter of fact, just last trip that I took, I changed my plans morning of, and I was able to score a fast pass for Frozen Ever After. So, I mean, you know, it all depends. So you can still get fast passes day of even, you know, you're going to be just fine. I promise.
But then again, ladies and gentlemen, she's Ricky Niblett. And yeah, there's the rest of us.
That's exactly what happens. No, not really.
No. All right. Next question. It says, haunted about the answer. It's from Matthew. Greetings, BOGP panel of knowledge. Like that.
Ooh, I like that's what we should go by. I like it.
The POK. The BOGP POK. See, my daughter and I are planning a trip to Disneyland, 18th of October to the 23rd of October, 2020. I'm wondering if the Haunted Mansion might have an overlay for Halloween by that time. Thank you all. Hope to see you at the Indie Disney Meet next month, Matthew. Yeah, we'll see you in Indy. All right, so but I would say October 18th. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't there not be an overlay by then? If not, they're going to miss it.
Is it? He said Disneyland,
2020.
Right?
Yeah, Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's land.
Yeah, I think they start working on it in September, maybe. Oh, I don't remember. I know I've posted. I work on updating the refurbishment page for Disneyland for the Mouse for Less, and I can never remember. It's usually either the end of August that they start working on it, or the beginning of September. But I would say definitely by October they'll have it done, because they have it open for the Halloween season. So as soon as Halloween time starts at Disneyland, they'll have they'll have the Haunted Mansion holiday open. So, yep, you'll be good.
Jack Skellington needs some more to live.
Yes, exactly.
Confession, I've never seen Nightmare Before Christmas all the way through. I've seen parts of it. It's so weird. Like, I think you really got to like it. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to like it, but it is just so weird looking, that animation style.
It's stop motion, so that's why
it's so weird.
But I mean, you definitely kind of have to like Nightmare Before Christmas. It's not my favorite. I've watched it full through, but it's definitely not like my favorite. I know I'm like in the minority, and I've never actually seen it in person, and I'm trying to see if I can finagle a trip to Disneyland next fall. But I really, I have two options for finagling a trip to Disneyland next year. I'm going to try to do, if one of them is the fall time potentially, and I would like to see Haunted Mansion Holiday. But like, I'm also kind of one of those people who is like, I don't really love Haunted Mansion Holiday. Like, when I hear it come out on Magical Mouse Radio, I'm like, oh no, not Haunted Mansion Holiday. Like, it's like one of my least favorite tracks that comes on. And I know that's like, I'm like kind of the minority of that, but like, I'm like, oh, not again. It's Haunted Mansion Holiday. So I don't know. It's just
me. All right, David's got a question. He says, with Dole Whips becoming increasingly more commonplace, for example, at Sweet Frogs, he found them at his local fair. We have them at the St. Louis Zoo, actually. Yes, we've had them there for years. Do you feel like it's losing its Disney magic? I used to yearn for them, but these days I find myself not wanting them.
Oh.
What do you think? I mean, because I think the thing is, like, we get all excited for these things we love. Like, God, if I could just have a Dole Whip outside of Walt Disney World. And now you can find these, you know, now you can find, now they're not the exact same thing, but you got, like, for example, the Mickey bars and Mickey waffles at your grocery store. They're not exactly the same, but when you, I think it's one of those cases, is too much of something a bad thing? I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I mean, so it's hard because, like, I really don't like Dole Whip either. So, I know, I'm, like, I'm totally ruining everybody. I should lose my Disney card today. I don't love Dole Whip. So, like, I don't ever get it when I'm in the parks. And I definitely don't get it, like, when I go to Minchie's. I mean, you know, they have it there all the time. And so I don't know if it's, like, losing its luster. I mean, because, you know, people still get excited about it. They still get it when they're in the parks. And there is something special. It's more about the location of where you're.
Yeah, that's me. I wouldn't probably get one at the zoo, but I might get one at Walt Disney World on a hot day, just because like it fits the Adventureland theme. Like it feels like even the zoo kind of fits that there too.
Yeah, the zoo does. But you know, I don't lose my mind because they're offering it at Menchie's. I'm just like, oh well, that's a nice option for people who want you know Dole Whip. That's fine. But I do feel like they are certainly milking it by coming out with all these different flavors now. I mean, there's strawberry, there's lime, there, you know, like that part I feel like maybe is a little less special than maybe getting it at, you know, my local ice cream shop. I don't know. That's just me. I feel like Disney might be milking it with the different flavors, but you know.
So let me ask you this. So with those, you know, the I call them mini Mickey bars, you know, they're smaller and in the boxes at the grocery store. And plus we got Mickey waffles. I think it was the same company at the grocery store the other day. And I mean, do you think there's people that stay away from those because it's like David said, like they don't want to, if you have it all the time, like I love Taco Bell and I have it all the time. It doesn't bother me. Like it's just, just me. I eat the same things over and over.
Yes.
But I think some people need to save like certain things for certain occasions where if you have a Mickey waffle once a week, when you get to Walt Disney World and you have it at Chef Mickey's, not a big deal. I mean, do you think there's people like that?
So I definitely, but then there's other snacks that you can have. So like, you know, like that's kind of how I see it. Like if I eat the Mickey bar here, like, yeah, I'm losing out and maybe won't feel so excited to eat the Mickey bar while I'm at Walt Disney World, although it definitely tastes better in Walt Disney World.
Yes.
But you know, I get to have a different snack then. Like, I could choose something else that, you know, instead of being like, oh, man, I have to have a Mickey bar right now. Like, I could choose something else that maybe they've introduced. So, you know, that's kind of my thought process on it is, like, I get to choose something different that maybe I wouldn't have chosen because I would have fixated on the Mickey bar. Also, just a heads up, for those of you who want the same flavor waffles, those ones that they sell in the store are not the same. And it's clear, like, they definitely don't taste the same. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, though. Shh. This is just between you and I. Go to Waffle House. It is the exact same mix. I
love Waffle House.
Waffle House sells the exact same waffles that they sell at Walt Disney World. They just don't look like Mickey, but they're
just gotta shape them yourself. You gotta do
they're the same exact flavor because I've seen the stuff that they use at Waffle House, and it's that golden malted, and it's the same exact one that they use at Walt Disney World. So, yeah. Go to Waffle House if you're looking for your Mickey waffle flavor fix.
Yeah, so. You know, one more thing on this too. I've switched. Like, I used to be a Mickey bar guy, like through and through, but I've switched over the last like 3 years to Mickey ice cream sandwiches. So good.
Yeah, I mean, it goes in cycles. I mean, yeah. It definitely goes in cycles. The Mickey Mouse ice cream sandwich is really, really, really good. I won't lie. Like, it's delicious. I'm still a Mickey bar girl, but I do like every once in a while.
God, I need a Mickey. I need an ice cream sandwich.
Right now. I know. It's so hot. I can totally go for that Mickey bar that's in my freezer right now. It is lunchtime at this point.
Yeah, so. I know. Killing us. Yeah. All right. Sorry if you're running today. Yeah. This next email is titled Watching the Oscars at Disney World. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My cool friends have told me in no uncertain terms that we will be watching the Oscars during our February trip to the world. They will air on a Sunday night, probably starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. I have two questions. First, where to watch? We're staying at Pop Century. Should we just make it an early night back at the hotel, or is there a cool lounge or restaurant we could be at instead?
Ooh.
Second, does Hollywood Studios do anything fun for the Oscars? We would probably go to the park that day. Thanks for all the Disney talk that I escaped to when I can't think about freaking politics anymore. Sincerely, Alexa in California. Oh, Lord, mine just woke up. Sorry. She's going to say something. I see.
Oh,
she's
no.
Blue.
Oh, no.
I got to get this thing out of the studio because like, I use it. It's my office, too. And it's okay. Just calm down. All right. So I love that. You know what? The studio should do something for the Oscars. I don't think they do, but my God, so, like that's like their jam. That'd be their day.
I will say in the past, and they didn't do it this past year, but previous years, they actually have done something. They had an Oscar statue that you could go take your photo with. Again, they didn't do it last year, but I know they've done it in previous years now. I don't know if they'll do it this year. Usually the Oscars are on ABC. Which, of course, is owned by Disney. Unfortunately, they don't usually air them anywhere that I can think of. I mean, they don't air them at Hollywood Studios for sure.
They should put them on that big screen, especially if like on ABC. I don't know. I think they are, aren't they?
That would make so much sense.
Show them on the big screen by the old American Idol Theater.
Yes. That would be perfect, but maybe they can't simulcast it. I don't know. But dude, that would be such a perfect spot to do that. Unfortunately, they don't. So I would say you could try a lounge, but I don't know if they're going to be able to change the channel for you. And you also may not be able to hear it. If you really have to watch the Oscars, I think your room is the only real choice that you're going to have. So, you know, make it a huge party and, decorate, bring some decorations or ship some from Amazon and really decorate the room and get some food. I don't know. I got nothing.
Well, because like say you go to like a lounge, you know, say a Tambu Lounge or something over at the Polynesian, but there's a sporting event going on. If you try to switch that sporting event over to the Oscars, you're taking a chance on your life because I know people take their Oscars seriously, but people take their sports and that is around. I know the Super Bowl isn't probably the same day. It's different.
That weekend,
I would say, the room's probably your best bet. Here's a note from Shelly. She says, hey, BOGP crew, this came over to the Facebook page. Just wanted to share with you and your listeners a fabulous opportunity to donate to Give Kids the World. Pam, being a bird girl, may already know about this. She says, my college summers were spent working at Kennywood Park in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which we talked about, apparently not related to Dollywood Park, even those islands in the stream and all that. Most of the time was spent as the manager of the Log Jammer. Sadly, Kennywood tore it down a few years ago to make way for its newest coaster, the Steel Curtain. They keep one of the original logs at the main gate for photo opportunities. They have just announced an opportunity to have your very own piece of Kennywood history. They're auctioning off a log with 100% of the proceeds going to Give Kids the World. There's a link for more information to place your bid. And she says if you win, she would gladly take the log. So we will share the link because it's very long, but that's an opportunity. So if you want to, and this is from Shelley. She is in Bogish in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, 243 miles from Kennywood. So
that's cool. What's interesting is, you know, I was with Steven from Give His World a couple of weeks ago at the time of this airing, and I heard him talking about this, actually, that they were giving away a, or they, you know, they were auctioning off a log from that attraction. And so, yeah, that's an actual thing that they're doing. So that's kind of cool, to be honest. If you really wanted a log, what a cool way to potentially get one.
Like, I would love a log from our local Six Flags. Now, the problem is they still use them because, like, that's how old the Six Flags is and the ride's still going on. But that was one of my favorite rides when I was a kid. But, like, what would I do with that sucker when I got it home? Like, this thing's awesome. What am I going to do? Like, when I sit and watch TV in it in the living room? It'd be kind of cool.
I mean, you would use it as a planter. I mean, you know, you would destroy it. I don't know what you'd use that for. Like, where are you putting it? I don't know. I mean, look, John Stamos has a lot of stuff that's from Disneyland, and he finds places to put things. So, I mean.
You know what I heard during the Cardinals game the other day? Jim Edmonds has the center field wall from the old Busch Stadium in his house.
Awesome.
That is that's awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
I was like, what? That's so cool. Anyway. All right. Next question is from Michael. Hey, BOGP crew. In 3 weeks, I'll be staying at French Quarter with my best friend who has never been to Disney. We only have 3 days to experience the parks, and I want him to have the best trip possible. Myself, being a Disney fanatic, naturally wants to spew information and history about everything I see in the parks. However, I don't want to be overbearing, and I'm worried that I'll scare him away from Disney by telling him everything Matt Parrish has taught me about on the 3028. Watch out for those roasty toasties.
Oh, I know. I love the roasty toasties.
They're not at World. You're good. They're not at World.
I hate that they're not at World. I wish they were. Yeah. I wish they were.
I just like saying roasty toasty. I was saying, I was listening to them on my run, and the whole rest of the run, I'm like, roasty toasty. I'm not the most. I know there's something wrong with me. How should I approach going with a first timer? Do I keep all the fun facts and trivia to myself? Should I keep it fast paced so that we get all the best rides, or should I slow down for a more relaxed experience? Thanks, Michael. P.S. If you see Michael from Overland Park, Kansas, working at Space Mountain, make sure to say hi, as I am the honorary Space Mountain lizard. How about that? All right, so I'm going to look for you, even though you're from Kansas. Just kidding.
Awesome.
That is awesome. So what's your strategy? I mean, besides trying to not be Matt Parrish, which is really hard to do when you're at Walt Disney World.
I definitely don't overwhelm people with facts. I slowly, like, maybe I'll share, like, one or two, but, like, I don't overwhelm people because unless they're really into it, it's not going to do anything for them. They're not going to, like, retain any of it. And it's just going to be, like, noise coming in and going out. So, they may end up resenting it in a weird way. So, unless they seem, like, really interested in the facts that you start spewing out first, like, again, very slowly, don't overwhelm them. But unless they start seeming, like, really interested, don't hit them with, like, a bunch of knowledge. Like, they'll have fun. They'll have a good time. They don't necessarily need to know the facts the first time, and they can learn them on the future times that you go if you bring them back again, if you end up making them love it just as much as you do. So, yeah. And they probably will, but don't overwhelm them.
You just got to kind of read the room, you know? Like, if it seems like they're going to, and just, like, give them a fact or two early, and, like, if they're just totally just blowing you off, just that's it. Done. Ride rides. You know, that's just how people do it. I mean, some people do appreciate it. So it just depends on your level of Disney nerdom. I mean, we all started somewhere. We were first timers somewhere too. So, all right, Jennifer's got the last question of the day, and it's a simple one. She's in the live chat. How about Skipper Canteen? Yay or nay?
I'm a yay. I liked Skipper Canteen. I got the char siu pork the last time I was there. It was delicious. So I'm definitely a yay for Skipper Canteen. I think it's really yummy. I didn't feel like they played with me as much, you know, like they're supposed to be kind of that Jungle Cruise skipper, like they're supposed to have fun. And our cast member server was not like the most fun. He kind of was just there to do a job, and that's okay, you know, whatever. But the food I thought was delicious. So, you know, if you end up getting the fun, then that's an extra added bonus. But, you know, I definitely like the food that I ate.
See, I don't, to me, it's like, it's not a yay or a nay. You know, again, I was an elementary school teacher, so we did some pretty dorky stuff because we learned this in professional development that we had to do with the kids because, you know, they were like 9. So you'd like, you know, you'd ask them, like, give a thumbs up if you agree, thumbs down if you don't agree, and a sideways thumb if you're kind of undecided. This one I would give the sideways thumb. I don't know because, like, okay, so here's what I say about Skipper Canteen. I think for a hardcore Disney fan, yes, it's definitely a yay. Because there's so many little intricacies in the restaurant itself that you can walk around and really see the nods to the attraction. Like you said, a cast member, a server that really gets into the role, that makes it even better. It does seem like you're eating in the mess hall for the Skipper Canteen, you know, for the Jungle Cruise. It's awesome. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. For somebody that's like a first timer or a casual fan, you know, the food, I don't think it can be good. I think one thing is that it's a little exotic, like for my family, but we're a very basic Midwestern family. I liked it, but I mean, I even got just like this tastes like chicken and it was good. It was good chicken, good sides. Like, I enjoyed it, but I think that, I don't know, because I feel like it's missing with people.
So
it's always empty.
Like, I feel like it's missing in two places. One, when we went, they really didn't have a large appetizer menu. Like, I felt like the appetizer choices were very, very minimal. There wasn't anything that was really good, because that was what we were originally going to go and do. It was Pam, Steve, and I, and we were going to have just some appetizers, and that was going to be it. But there was, like, nothing on the appetizer menu that was sounded anywhere good. I don't think their dessert menu is very good either. I think where they stand now is mostly their entrees. Yes, there are some unique flavors to them, but I don't think like it's anything that's super super exotic. I think that it just sounds exotic, which is kind of the problem. You know, when you are bringing someone who maybe doesn't have like the most worldly palate, you know, you look at the menu and you're like, wait, what is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, it can throw you off a little bit. And I know that it threw me off a little bit, but I decided to take the chance and actually try something that, you know, sounded good. And the char siu pork sounded good. Now, you don't know what that is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, char siu pork, what is that? It was basically like, I mean, I know this is kind of putting it in a nutshell, but it was like Asian barbecue pork. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like Asian barbecue sauce on pork. It was delicious. So, but when you hear the name, I mean, you don't really get that feeling. You don't really understand what it is. So I think that the naming conventions that they use and how they describe their food may be a little off-putting to people. And I think that might be why it has trouble getting people into it.
So. Dennis really nails it in the live chat. He says, we tried Skipper Canteen for the first time this past April. It was good, a unique experience, but wasn't our favorite dining experience of the trip. And I think that's true of a lot of people. Like, I've gone there, I think, three times. And I liked it every time. Like, every time I've liked it. But then the next trip, I'm never there's like, just, I got to go back.
There's something that's missing at magic. You know, there's some sort of magic that's missing in it. And to make you go like, yes, that's where I want to go. You know, so many people want to go back to... But then you think about all the restaurants that are at the Magic Kingdom, too. And you're like, well, I don't really know if I want to go there. Like, you definitely don't want to go to Tony's. So, and you know, the Plaza is just kind of like, I hear the food's good, but like, it's good. A place that I also don't kind of think about. You know, you've got Crystal Palace, which, you know, is great, but it's expensive. It's super a buffet. Expensive. You've got Liberty Tree Tavern, which is good. I like Liberty Tree Tavern. And then you got Be Our Guest, which nobody can get into. So, I mean, I feel like it should be a home run.
It should.
Because the other options at the Magic Kingdom are just like, you know, for the most part, you know, there's a few good choices in there, but overall, it's not super great for table service. So I don't know, it should be better than it is. But there's just, you're right, there's something magic that's missing, and I can't put my finger on what it is.
Yeah, I totally say to give it a shot to Jennifer, because I think especially if you're sitting here at a Disney podcast over lunch, you're gonna like it because there's lots of nods to Jungle Cruise. The food's fine. It's just for some reason, like I thought this was gonna be. When it was announced concept-wise, I was like, this is going to be another Be Our Guest, man. You're never going to get in this place. Like, it's like eating in the Jungle Cruise. But it just, you know, you can always walk in. So it's just kind of strange.
That's what we did.
But
we got to
definitely
walk in.
Try it. You're not going to regret it. I mean, I don't think
you won't regret it. Get the char siu pork. It's really good.
It tastes like chicken.
It tastes like pork.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us live here in the chat and for the great questions in the inbox. Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com is where you can send those our way. Today's show brought to you by our friends at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition, because it'd be strange if it was like National Geographic Edition or something. I don't know. So what are we reading about this week, Ricky, on Theme Park News?
So we are reading about the fact that mobile order is now available at more restaurants at the Walt Disney World Resort. So Sasagula Floatworks and Food Factory at Port Orleans French Quarter, the world premiere food court and the End Zone food court and the intermission food court at the All-Star Resorts, they are added to the other options at resorts that are currently available, which is Everything Pop, the Mara, and the Contempo Cafe. So yay, there's more options for you to be able to mobile order if you are staying at a Disney resort hotel.
Very simple. See, I mean, you can get little nuggets like that right there while you're eating your breakfast in the morning. And like you go to work and you say, guess what? Psh, I can mobile order at the All-Stars now. Do you know that? And then your coworkers right. Going to be like, no, I didn't know that. How'd you find that out? Theme Park News Disney Edition free app for your iOS device. Get it now over at virtualmickey.com. Also, support show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Whatever you're buying, if you're buying toenail clippers or paper towels, or toilet paper. You know, we all
like
need
how you
toilet
went with toenail
paper.
Clippers first, by the way.
I hurt my toe on my run this morning, so
got
it's
it.
Kind of hurting
you
right
need,
now. So it's top of the mind, exactly.
Runners maybe Advil. Advil
yeah,
would
I do.
Be a good option.
Advil
that'd be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon does help support the show. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And, of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here. And we're going to be back again on Friday talking about Ricky's adventure with the Force at the AP
yes.
previews for Galaxy's Edge. We'll be talking all about that, having a good time.
Was and, the Force with me? You will
it?
Find
we'll
out.
We'll see. And we'll talk about much more as well. So thank you so much for dropping in. For Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. But it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.